Welcome to the Floor Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 13th of April, recording at 9:27 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights of the week, as this is the big picture long-term outlook for the various asset classes. Now, review. In terms of stock markets, we've seen mostly an easier tone. Asia was firm today, and actually one of the firmer regions overall. China extended its strong gain of yesterday and is up on the week. As are some of the other Asian indices, not India. But regionally, as I say, it's a bit stronger than the West, and it's a lot stronger than Europe. And Europe has had a bad week, some little bit of recovery yesterday, but it was pummeled here again today. We're back to Spanish debt fears, and I think a lot of short selling is going on in this area. But for instance, today we had the Italian MIB index down nearly 3.5%, Spain down just over 3.5%, Germany's DAX 2.33%, French CAC 2.25%, UK FTSE down just 1%, the European Euro Stocks Index down more, and the banks, the European banks are quite weak. Now, in the Americas, a better performance overall, but clear evidence of loss of momentum. And that roped in the NASDAQ. The rally had sort of stalled, but Apple's been down for the last 5 days in a row, and you'd have to search back a while, over a year, before you'd find the last time that that actually happened. So definitely showing a loss of momentum overall, which is hardly surprising. Now, long-dated government bonds have done the opposite. They've rallied during these pullbacks, and today as I speak, that U.S. 30-year Treasury is at 141/19/32. That's up over a full point. They're all up, all those government, long-dated government bonds, futures, that is, so yields down. In currencies, the dollar has been generally firm overall, and it's taken the yen with it. As a matter of fact, on the week, the yen's been a little bit stronger than the U.S. dollar. I think that's really covering of yen shorts, but I think it's also a bit of a retreat into dollar liquidity by forex traders. That's a knee-jerk response that we sometimes get when stock markets are weak. We see buying in the U.S. dollar, and it happened in here today. And as I say, it's been a generally steady week, with the exception of yesterday for the dollar. But you know, we're not talking about too much drama here. We've got the euro at 130.83 and sterling 158.53. Commodities. Gold, and the other precious metals had a good day yesterday, and they gave it all up in here today, and in some instances a little bit more. A rally, the week's rally ended badly in here. Don't be overly dramatic. Gold that's currently trading at 1657, but we did see it up over at 1678 early this morning. And silver's fallen back to 3150, 3151. Platinum back below 1600. The industrial commodities were pretty well all a bit weaker. Copper had a fairly big hit here today, and it's at currently at 361.8 cents. Agricultural commodities, again, mostly easier in here, and that CCI index is approaching its December, late December low to date, having peaked a year ago. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, as I've been saying in pretty much every one of these audios for at least a fortnight, that we're in a corrective phase here. It's a well-earned corrective phase when we can for stock markets, when we consider the gains that we actually saw from those around the September, early October lows. We had a good ending to the year and a barnstorming first quarter to the upside for most, not all, stock markets. Now, they've been peeling away one by one here, starting with the fundamentally weak stuff. So Europe led on the way down. India, which had had such a big move upwards in the first 2 months of the year, also gave up a third of those gains. And we still have some holdouts. Until today, those had included the NASDAQ, and it's done still marvelously overall. And the ASEAN markets, I'm talking now specifically about the ones that also export commodities, so that would be Thailand, Indonesia, Philippines, Kuala Lumpur. They really have held up quite well. But the big theme here is that this is an overall reaction and consolidation phase. For some, it's more than that. It's a correction. It's a major correction for these European stock markets, and we've actually had the Spanish stock market index, as I illustrated earlier in the week. I mean, that's fallen through to a new low, so taking out last year's lows. So that's more than a obviously more than a correction. So far, most of the damage or pausing that we've seen, it's been on a rotational basis overall, but we can expect more of this. That's been my message, given that even when markets steadied, and quite a good day yesterday, I'm pointing out that there was a very short-term oversold condition. Wall Street had fallen five consecutive days before yesterday's rally. So slightly oversold on those short-term stochastic indicators, but when you consider the gains in the fourth quarter of last year and the first quarter of this year, that really the balance of evidence strongly favored an additional reaction and consolidation, possibly a correction, mean reversion towards the MAs for the strong markets, and tests of prior support or worse for the much smaller group of quite weak markets, and the very weakest of those being the periphery European stock markets, where I've mentioned before that I think we're seeing a lot of short selling activity overall. Now, I think this is going to continue for a while. The uncertainty is whether it's mostly ranging or whether we get more evidence of capitulation. I think some capitulation is a probability, but I don't see any reason why we should really get anything as dramatic as what we saw last year. Now, I had a telephone call from CNBC, I think it was CNBC India, this morning, When they call me or when they call Owen, it usually means that they're getting quite worried about what's going on in Europe, and often it's a contrary indicator. And I didn't actually get to comment on the show because then they said time had run out, and so I'm going to do it on Monday. But what I will be saying is that what we know here about the European situation is that once the ECB, run by Mario Draghi, became the lender of last resort, and he kicked in over a trillion euros on cheap 3-year loans with the extension plans beyond that for the banks, and the banks took up one heck of a chunk of money. But those European banks, and some of them took up the money whether they needed it or not, because it had lost its stigma by the second round. And some of the weakest banks, say Spanish banks, pumped a lot of that money into Spanish sovereign debt, or and other European countries, same sort of thing happened, putting it into their sovereign debt. So then when the European banks index falls for over a month, as we've seen now, that starts to put these banks under additional pressure financially, or this is what short sellers are betting on. If they are compelled to have some sort of mark-to-market reporting of their reserves. So anything that they bought in the 2 previous months is now underwater to a certain extent, as yields are at least 100 basis points higher in Spain. So what's going to happen, and how will this actually play out? Well, what we've seen, certainly with the Fed, and what I think we will most certainly see with the ECB, is that once they embarked on this road of becoming the lender of last resort, they're not going to stop. Now, they could stop. They could stop right from now and announce that and let the whole thing implode and the euro break up. But as I've said on a number of occasions throughout the last years, all those euro crisis dealings, I said that it's a political construct. If they want to keep it together, or most of it together, I've never assumed that it was a club that countries could only join. Wanted to keep most of it together, that they could do so, but they are going to have to print a whole lot of money in doing that. Well, that's something that they've had plenty of company in this respect from other central banks. And the point is that I've made is the political construct is that the ECB is not going to sit in majestic inaction, watching the cause of its own demise on a principle of Austrian economics. That's going to print, and that's what it's doing, and it'll keep on printing and keep on printing, and that's why the euro is going to be a soft currency overall for a long time, and I think sooner or later we're going to see another sharp downward leg by the euro. Now, people could say, well, the dollar is susceptible to that as well, and so's sterling, but and I would say, well, less so, because sterling got in its devaluation early. And so did the US, really. So, and the US, since it has that marginally better GDP growth rate, is a little bit firmer overall. So, when I say about the ECB is going to come in and print more money, and it's what it's going to do is that it will either get the Spanish bonds. This is QE all over again, by a slightly different method. But it'll either get those banks to buy more of that same sovereign debt, or the ECB will go in and buy it directly. And Germany is not going to block this. We can be pretty certain of that because all the hardliners that were in the Bundesbank have pulled out under protest. In other words, they protested and left. And Mrs. Merkel is not going to say no because she's smarter than that. And she knows that if Germany were on its own, or if we just had a very small sort of hardcore European euro contingent, that currency would soar. And that would be bad news for the German exporters and exporters of the other countries that would be involved, Holland, for instance. So they're going to live with it, and they'll live with the inflation risk, just as the Fed is going to live with the inflation risk. I've written about that a bit more here today. I haven't posted it yet. It'll be a late night posting again, but I will. I will produce that because it's an interesting situation in terms of how all this is going to play out. But I won't repeat all that because you can read it. But let's go on with the big theme here. So I've said throughout the week and perhaps longer that Europe is back center stage as the primary concern for equity investors, but it does not have the capacity to shock, in my opinion, that it had last year. Because last year, before Mario Draghi took over at the ECB, and before he became lender of last resort, people were worried about an imminent breakup of the euro. Okay, I think I pretty well covered that from at this time. What it is doing is it's creating some mouth-watering yields among viable European companies, and there are plenty of them. Those do not include the banks. Banks are highly speculative, but you know, when there's a lot of short selling going on, and there certainly is, they'll rebound sharply when sentiment improves. Same old story. Now, so what looks good in the equity patch? Well, China has attractive valuations on an historic basis, and I was looking at some of its bank shares yesterday or the day before, and a number of them really have quite attractive yields overall. And their stock market performance has been very poor. Heavyweight legend hedge fund legends like Jim Chanos have been short those bonds overall, but they're mostly ranging at a relatively low level, and we've seen the and a little bit of an infusion of liquidity coming from China this week. And the stock market, well, it's probably the top performing stock market this week from a very low and lengthy period of underperformance. But I think that there's scope for recovery there. If we get recovery there, it will feed through to the rest of the region, and it will be good for the Asian, I beg your pardon, the ASEAN markets for certain. But I think it would just lend confidence generally, and I think that would spill over into mining shares, which have certainly underperformed, but have steadied in the last few days with China. And so they're interesting. They've got some very attractive attractive dividends. Now, I don't expect any sudden upturn here in stock markets. It's best to think of this corrective phase as lasting for a number of weeks and perhaps several months. And we're nearly halfway through April, and then we get in, everybody will be talking about sell in May and go away. But the real point is that after those gains, 6 months of gains pretty much, punctuated only by a sharp shakeout in November, this is overdue. I think it will turn out overall to be a support building process, and I think that the ECB will calm nerves over the next few weeks or months. And I think that the China fears will abate somewhat. U.S. earnings so far coming through are not too bad, but we do have evidence that global GDP growth is still slowing somewhat. Now, that can be a negative in the short term, but it is likely to prompt central banks to be a little bit even more, I should say, even more accommodative with their monetary policy. And so that's a cushion in here overall. And certainly by the fourth quarter of this year, if not sooner, I do expect the cyclical bull market to have resumed. Now, let's just talk a little bit about Apple here for a moment. Because when you get the best accelerating upward trends, they always go further than one would expect. And we all start, or at least over here, we all start, at Fuller Money, we all start becoming nervous about them as they go up very, very sharply. Because we know that when we get those big overextensions relative to the MA, that those end badly. Now, I forget the name of the guy, but evidently one of the best-known analysts of Apple, or one of the most, reputed to be one of the most successful analysts of Apple, is now calling for $1,000 a share. I haven't read the piece. I don't know the time frame that he's put on that, and so on. Now, he'll probably be right, but not in the short term. So it's a question of when. And my concern right now is that that's a contrary indicator, because the veteran subscribers will recall that over and over again, you get a very, very strong uptrend. People get nervous. Then they become believers. Then they rationalize the whole thing. Then they start extrapolating to embolden themselves or to calm their nerves about the overextension. But it always ends with mean reversion, and usually a bit more, as we've seen with gold and silver. So that's what I think is going to occur. Now, I hope that doesn't cause a flurry of indicators from the very smart, and I do admire you, subscribers who've been riding this all the way, and well done you. But I don't think the problem in the short term is going to be one of sales and earnings, although I don't really know, but I don't see why that should be the case. I mean, it's fabulous products, and they're still selling like hotcakes from everything that I can see. But there will be a gravity element in this. But if you want a fundamental factor, it's going to be tax investigations. Because Apple itself has mentioned that the U.S. IRS is investigating several years of tax returns. And the Sunday Times last week in the U.K. had an article on how Apple only paid $10 million. I think they said it only paid $10 million in taxes while selling billions of their wonderful products. in the UK. A lot of it to Mrs. Fuller. So, really, I think a downside of being the world's richest company is that a lot of these cash-strapped governments look around and say, "Hey, am I getting my fair share of that?" And let's investigate. So, I think one Apple's going to Apple's financial department is going to be very busy in fending off these attacks, and that may unnerve some investors in the market. Okay, moving on. What about these long-dated government bond prices? Well, in the West, they're certainly still getting the support of their central banks. I've talked about the ECB and how it'll have to come in, either lend the money to buy sovereign debt, or it will do it itself. The Operation Twist from the Fed is still going on. We've had Fed Governor Yellen, who's on the voting capital. You might have seen that in the news, but yesterday she said that she was results driven. I think that was a word she used, or events driven. And that if the economy seemed to be slowing, then they'd come in and stimulate further. And yet, if it was doing well or picking up steam, then they wouldn't. Well, it's not picking up steam here right now. You look at the runes of the entrails, and you see in these various economies evidence of slower GDP growth, although corporate profits are still doing pretty well, but companies have cleverly managed down expectations. So, but then again, we're left with a situation where Wall Street has not been quite so happy when it hasn't clearly been on another injection of QE. So, that may lead to, I think probably will lead to, a little bit longer pause and consolidation or corrective phase. I'm in here right now. But a very positive sign of that is that a lot of these autonomies that we like so much, these again, of course, are the big multinational, successful multinational companies that are sector leaders. Now, every now and then, one of these gets something seriously wrong, and it over the years, and drops out of that sector leading position. Hewlett-Packard is an example, obviously. But and most of these autonomies are, or the best performing of the autonomies are, in the businesses that cater to the consumers, the growing global middle class. Whether it's Nike shoes or Apple products or McDonald's restaurant chains, brilliantly managed by tweaking their product around the world. Now, there are some dividend aristocrats among them, and this is going to be a favorite sector of ours for, I think, a very long time. But when they get overextended, and they did get overextended, Owen pointed that out on a number of occasions in his reviews, and it's certainly been mentioned in these audios, then we can expect mean reversion, and that process is taking place. And when those companies move back to their mean reversion, or a bit more, but you see a juicy dividend, and there's nothing untoward in terms of the balance sheet, those are buys. And I think we'll be saying that. They'll probably be saying that for a long time. Okay. Again, going back to these long-dated government bonds, the yields are derisory, but it's a great trading game for the people who deal in this market. But as an investment, the yields just aren't there unless you want to take a flyer in Spanish or Italian bonds and or worse, and I don't on this. If I want a 5 or 6% yield, we can get it in equities and should, in my opinion. But we've seen bonds prices rally back up into their top areas, and that's indicating that those patterns are going to be extended overall. But I don't see such a dramatic slowdown in global GDP growth that we get yields moving to new lows. I think that would be unlikely, or if you saw it would be a now you see it and now you don't. It wouldn't last very long, in other words. In terms of currencies, we've got a fair amount of stability. I did mention in my review that at some point we'll see the euro take another leg down. I think that's almost inevitable. Some of these currencies will break ranks. I mentioned that the yen had been strong in the last couple of weeks. I think mostly on short covering. Now, the Bank of Japan has said once again that it would come in and provide a lot of liquidity, weaken the yen. Didn't repeat the weaken the yen point quite specifically, but I think it's quite likely. The dollar is generally steady here overall, and we have mostly ranging in currencies. That's not a bad outlook overall, and I think we'll see that more often than not, with the caveats regarding the euro that I've already mentioned. And if growth does slow down a bit more, that Asia, the growth economies, they have the firepower to gun their economies, stimulate growth, in other words. And they don't have the big debt mountains, they don't have the big consumer debt that the West West has. So they can help to revive their economies more quickly, should they wish to. I mean, good heavens, India, worried about its inflation, I understand that. They do more for their inflation if they modernize the agriculture sector and had better distribution and storage facilities, but I don't want to digress too much on that. That's something we've often mentioned. But after 13 consecutive quarter point interest rate increases, they've got some scope to lower. And meanwhile, that CCI index is that's the continuous commodity index, or the old CRB, that is drifting lower. Although that's an unweighted index, and biggest problem here in these commodities has been oil, which I've often described over the last year as a headwind for the global economy. It wasn't as severe a headwind as we've seen in the past, but a headwind's a headwind, and we've still got crude WTIs at 102.86 today, or 121 and a quarter or so on Brent. It's still high, although fortunately off the highs that it had seen. As we continue in this second difficult decade in terms of tight energy supplies, the only exception to that right now, and it's a big important exception for the U.S. economy, is the weakness of natural gas below $2. It's really a simple story that the shale fracking results have been so productive that the U.S., despite burning a lot of its own natural gas and storing a lot of it, has run out of storage capacity. And in what was a lack of foresight and a clear example of mismanagement, when these shale companies were clearly producing so much gas, I find it amazing that someone didn't say, this is going to become an export market for us, and build Ling terminals liquefied natural gas that can be used for export. They've got terminals. I think they have 9 terminals that can be used for importing the Ling, but apparently none for exports. Now, why they are totally different, but I don't know the ins and outs of all that, but that's the fact. So they're actually flaring some of this natural gas off, which is sad and wasteful. Europe could certainly use it, as could other parts of the world. But that's why that is so price is so low, and that's given the U.S. economy an additional edge over Europe and Japan, for instance, over the last couple of years. Now, precious metals. We're in these big trading ranges, as you know. And I am hopeful that we have seen the lows during this corrective phase. And again, I repeat that when we get those big upward accelerations, and Apple was considerably more dramatic than Apple, sorry, Silver's was considerably more dramatic last April, a year ago, than gold's acceleration in August of last year, and more dramatic than Apple's acceleration. But they're all big. Those are three big examples. And silver, the biggest of all. So you've seen the extent of the pullback that's occurred with a high beta silver. And following these accelerations in gold and silver earlier, in the earlier years of this bull market cycle, I keep mentioning that we've seen these lengthy corrections and consolidations lasting about 18 months. So we're sort of halfway through that process if it were to repeat. Now, that means that we're unlikely to see more than trading opportunities over the next few months. But I do feel that fundamentally, all this printing, money printing that we're getting, all this monetary stimulation, that is a very favorable long-term background for gold and silver, with platinum and palladium tagging along and even outperforming if they see evidence of economic recovery, which we might not see much of this year. We're going to say we're currently in a slowing phase. So that's pretty much how I see it overall. And I've long maintained for years that probably right from the beginning of this secular bull market in gold, that I didn't think it would end until we had a real mania, not just a good acceleration, which I think got up to about 28% above its MA, I think Owen had measured. But I'm talking about something bigger than that, and possibly considerably bigger. If we get the US monetary policy producing inflationary pressures in the next few years in excess of what we've already seen, and I think that's a reasonable bet. And I maintain that I didn't think we'd see that gold bull market end until they really did start to tighten the money supply, and then it eventually gets choked off, because too much money goes into higher yielding assets, or yielding assets, unlike gold. So that's pretty much the story. I feel overall, I fear I've run on a little bit. So have a great weekend. All the best.